Okay, let's go on just a little bit further here. And let's see what, and this is in the New Testament. Then he says, nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and then died, and then they died from snake bites. You know what the snake bites are today? Demons. That's the snake bites that you die from today. In other words, back in those days, he used a physical snake to bite you. Today, God uses demons. He calls them snakes or scorpions. And they bite you, and you can't see them. In fact, I had a little girl come up here the other day and want me to pray for her. She's fixing to get married for second or third time. I forget what it was. And she said, Pastor, you've got to pray for me. I got to get healed before I get married. I said, why? She said, I have herpes. And she said, you know there's no cure for that. I said, I know. I know there's no cure for that. I said, have you been having oral sex with some boy? Yes. I said, that's what brings it on. You didn't know that? She said, no. I said, you have oral sex with a man you ain't married to, chances are 99 out of 100, you're going to get some kind of herpes. Don't put Christ to the test. Just like it says here. As some of them did, and then died from a snake bite. So a demon comes and bites you with some kind of a venomous disease, and you die, and you don't understand why. And then don't grumble as some of them did. Oh, that hits us all, huh? Like I said, when I started out, how many of you know grumbling is a sin? Well, surely God wouldn't mind if I grumbled a little. Well, I think he doesn't like it. And don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God sent the angel of death to destroy them. So if you're a real grumbler and you come down with something sick and you die early, somebody says, well, you know, my grandmother or my dad or my grandfather, he was a great man and he went to church and he loved God more than anything and he died early. And then I start asking questions when I get to this one. Did he ever grumble and complain? Oh my goodness, he was always grumbling and complaining about something. Do you know why? That's why he died? I don't believe that. I said, God doesn't like grumbling and complaining. Did he tell us that this is why he gave us these things as examples so we wouldn't do these things? Is that what he said? So do you think God's word doesn't mean what it says? No, it means exactly what it says. Don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God... Who sent it? Wow. God sent his angel of death to destroy them. How would you like for God to say, well, Thurman, I'm sick and tired of your grumbling and complaining, so death angel, go get him. Would that give you a little incentive not to grumble and complain? Quickly. What does God want us to do? He wants us to love him, does he not? Does he want us to love him and walk in love and thank him for everything? I mean, I think about this man, doctor. I mean, he got my teachings here a few years ago, and first time as a medical doctor, he listened to one of them. And the first time, his wife gave it to him. She listened to it first. Then she gave it to him, and he listened to it, and he took it out and threw it in the trash. She said, honey, this guy's crazy. She said, about 2 days later, I go over there in the trash, and I get it out. So I'm going to listen to that one more time. He listened to it one more time, and he said, he threw it away again. And then his wife come in with Caitlin's miracle. Now, that'll really get a doctor. And after he listened to that, he said, okay, that's it. We're going to Dallas to meet this guy. I'm going to find out if this guy's real or if he's crazy. So he come to Dallas, and they met me. And he went away saying, Thurman, you're real. I said, yes, I'm real. I'm in flesh and blood, just like you. I said, but God's given me a job to teach his church what causes sickness and disease, and it's sin. And I said, you know, that's why I do what he tells me, and that's why he does what he promised. When people repent, he heals them. I said, you know, God means everything he says. So he said, okay, then I'm going to start praying for my patients. So a few months later, he called me, which was only 2 or 3 months ago. He called me and said, Thurman, I am so mad at you. I said, wait. I said, doctor, what did I do wrong? He said, you got me fired. I said, I got you fired? How did I get you fired? He said, well, I come to your healing schools and learned about praying for people, so I got people to repent of sins. I started praying for them, and it's amazing the results I was having. He said, people are getting healed all kinds of ways. You know, said, it makes me look good, he says. You know, because who would ever dream that you get them to repent of sin? They'd come in there with cancer. I said, you have unforgiveness towards someone? Well, yeah, my sister, I can't. Or they come in, they'd have breast cancer. He said, oh, you wouldn't happen to have unforgiveness toward a female, would you? Well, yes, I do. He said, would you repent of that sin? And then I will give you some medicine. And they come back a week later, and they're completely healed. He said, wow, this is something. But he said, I prayed for a woman the other day, or a person, he didn't say who, he said, I prayed for a person, and they were an atheist, and they didn't like it. And so they went to the board, and they complained, and they fired me for praying for my people. He said, I'm mad at you. I said, well, you ought to be doing what God says. He said, what do you mean? Let's see what 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's see what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. In everything, oh, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So when he got fired, what should he been doing? Oh, Lord, thank you that you fired me. Now, let me ask you, how many of you does that make sense to? That don't make no sense. This girl's over shaking her. Don't make no sense to me. I get fired, and I praise God for getting me fired. But what did he tell you to do? He tells you to praise him. He tells you to give him thanks. I said, sir, you need to be praising the Lord. Say, thank you, Lord, that you fired me. I said, how in the world is God going to give you a better job if he don't fire you from that other one? Well, he said, Thurman, this don't make no sense at all. I said, but the Word of God don't make no sense to the physical man, but to the spiritual man, it makes sense. I said, praise him. He said, okay, Lord, I praise you that I lost my job. He said, Thurman, this is the craziest thing I ever done in my life. I said, but sound like you really mean it. He said, Lord, I praise you and thank you that you got me fired. About 2 weeks later, he come bouncing in back here on Sunday, all dressed up, suit and tie and everything. He said, run up and grab me and hug me. He said, praise God, do I love you? I said, what happened? He said, I got a job that pays a lot more money than the other job. See, when you obey God, what does he do? He blesses your socks off. In everything, give thanks. Is that hard to do, brother? I mean, when things ain't going good and you're having a rotten day, say, Lord, thank you that everything's going perfect today in the name of Jesus. That's just like one day, Eldon and I, we'd been down in Fort Worth. We got in a terrible traffic jam. There's an accident down there on the freeway, and we're inching along there, stop and go. I mean, for 30 minutes. And after about 30 minutes, I said, Lord, we thank you that we're stopped in this traffic in the name of Jesus. Eldon jumped up and said, yes, Lord, we praise you and thank you. He knows the scripture just like I do. He said, Lord, we praise you and thank you. For about 30 minutes, we said, Lord, I thank you and praise you that we're stopped in this traffic. I know you're going to get us out of this in a few minutes. And then I said, Lord, thank you. I praise you that we're stopped in this traffic. I know there's a reason, but I want you to know that I praise you and worship you for the stopped traffic. He said, you and Eldon both are lying. I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I hate the traffic, but I know. I said, you told me to praise you in all things, so I'm at least trying to obey your word. That was so cute when the Lord said, you and Eldon are both lying. Who knows our heart? He does. Yes, that's it. He does. We got to go speak at a church in Detroit. It was a big church, and the pastor there, when we were there, I never saw anybody treated more like a king by his congregation than this guy. It was really something. But he said that the way he heard about my ministry, one of his deacons come out one day, and as he was fixing to get in his car to go, he said, I want you to listen to this CD. And he said, okay, I'll listen to it. He said, no, I want to put it in your CD player. I want to hit play. I want you to listen to it on the way home. So he said, oh, somebody's always wanting me to listen to a CD. He says that, okay, he'd been the senior pastor of this big church for many years. So anyway, he said, I turned that thing on, and of course the title of it was God's Power. He said, I have made my trip to my house thousands of times, but he said, today I'm listening to your CD, and I missed the turnoff going to my own house. So he said, after I listened to that thing, I did finally get home, and he said, it was an hour and a half long, and I listened to it before I turned the car off. I listened to it all the way through, and then I said, I've got to get a hold of this man, have him come up here. And so I did. They called, I went up there, and we were there on a Monday and a Tuesday night, and I guess they were about 1,500 people on Monday night. They had about 6,000 congregation, but we had about 1,500 of them there. And he was so fired up and said, you know, you're going to have to come back because some people got healed. When I prayed, I told him, I said, I can't pray for y'all one-on-one. with 1,500 of you here, I'm going to have to just pray a corporate prayer. And I did. And God healed some people, healed some women of breast cancer right there. They come screaming down the front. They had their knot that was on their breast disappeared when we prayed. And so, wow. What did God say if we're walking in obedience to His Word? What did He say we could ask for?
Amen.
And we should have no fear of nothing, right? I mean, God has given us the power and authority, if we'll walk in obedience to His Word, to ask Him for
anything.
That's exactly right. You know, so He'll do it. I mean, that's how I raised my granddaughter from the dead. You know, some of you have heard the story about Caitlin. You know, she's now 13 years old. I mean, you know, she's a little girl of her own. You know, she grandma's been taking her out, giving her, she takes her over here to this Christ for the Nations, or Christ Haven, I mean. And they have been teaching her how to ride a horse. You know, she wants to be a veterinarian when she gets grown. You know, so she loves animals, so she wants to ride. So Tim got her a little donkey the other day, little bitty one about this tall. And when I went down there, that little guy was, he was not too sure he wanted to be close to me, and he'd run around by me and kick them little heels up, you know. And I said, "You better not hurt my granddaughter." I said, "You know, I will get you, I guarantee." So I went down there a couple of days later, and she's down there with a brush. She's just brushing her all over the place. She's standing there. I thought, oh, her and Caitlin get along fine. You know, so, you know, it's amazing what God can do and will do if we will walk in obedience to His Word. I got to tell you the story, if you hadn't heard the story of the puppy. Cheryl had a puppy when I married her, and her name was Angel. And, of course, when she started talking about Angel, I said, "Who is Angel?" She said, "My dog." I said, "You have a beast?" She said, "I have a dog." I said, "Where does that beast sleep?" She said, "On my bed, on the foot of my bed." I said, "Well, you and me get married, she ain't sleeping in the bed with me. I ain't sleeping in no bed with no dog." So she trained Angel to sleep under the foot of the bed. And so she did for the next 6 years. And then a year ago, Angel, at the age of 16, had a massive heart attack and died in Cheryl's arms in my office. She was screaming, "Thurman, pray, pray, pray." Well, I was praying, but you know, she's 16, and God's saying, "No, it's time for her to come home." Well, then her brother asked her later, "Cheryl, are you going to get another dog?" And she said, "Well, probably not, because Thurman don't like dogs anyway." Said he tolerated Angel because he said she was grandfathered in because she... But he said he doesn't want another dog. Finally, she got to missing her little dog so much, she came to me and said, "Honey, I think I would like to have another puppy."
We are going to stop for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled "God Will Command the Blessings to Overtake You," or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.